Hello, and welcome to episode 209 of Checkpoint Chat. My name is Alessandro Barbosa. I'm joined by Matthew Figuera.
Good thing you got the episode right. I won't rat you out.
Don't even.
What happened?
Don't.
It's end of year. We're tired.
This is actually the fifth time we're starting this podcast because I can't get numbers right, apparently.
This man can't count. It went 204 through to 209 before we were like, that's the one. Keep.
Yeah. Just Matty's just like keep incrementing.
Cut.
Eventually he's gonna get
one
there.
Up. 209 though, sure. It's December. Mm. It's end of the year.
Mm. Mm.
I'm tired.
This is probably gonna be our second last one of the year.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Definitely
likely because I won't be here. So yeah.
Just
you can do the podcast alone with Lupin, it's fine. I don't mind.
Checkpoint.
Or Lenska.
Cats,
you guys finally can talk about Fortnite for 2 hours.
I just want to let you know that in February, I don't know if we're getting review code or not, but Lenska's like, she'll review Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, I was like, done.
Really?
Absolutely
will
done.
You come talk on the podcast and everything? She's like, yes, if I can play it, absolutely.
Okay. Sold. Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll do it.
I really couldn't give a shit about that game.
I mean, I'm keen for it. So, yeah, let's see.
Open world Harry Potter. Yeah, it could be fun. Could be fun.
Take my
maybe I'm just tainted from all the Harry Potter games that were movie tie-ins that were all mostly bad.
The ones that became memes, best.
Yeah. I remember playing one, I think it was Order of the Phoenix, so the fifth one. Mm. You know, the sort of movie where nothing really happens. And they turned it into like a fucking cover shooter. It was like you would hide behind cover and shoot things with your wand. And I was
nice.
What is going on here?
They gave it the Gears of War treatment.
Yes. Everything was doing the Gears of War treatment back then, I guess. So,
amazing. Yeah. I always just think of it, for the first game, the textures were so bad. There's iconic.
For that very first one. Oof.
Hagrid.
Yes. That flat face Hagrid. It's so good.
Game. Hang on.
That game was phenomenal because you could find secrets due to the technical limitations of the PS1. That's like when a door was a door and it wasn't just a wall texture, it was a different color entirely. And it was like, well, I can interact with this wall now.
Look at this,
oh, it's
man.
Beautiful. I love it.
It's too good.
That's me when my alarm goes off in the morning. Oh my God.
So flat. But it's funny because
so
I've seen videos on TikTok where people take scenes from the games and they just completely dub over them, but absolute nonsense.
Incredible.
But it's so good.
Incredible.
And there's also Snape. Hang on. Snape's a good one. Sorry, audio listeners, you're getting, just imagine a very, very, or the characters you know and love.
I mean, everyone knows PS1 Hagrid, surely.
PS1 like, Hagrid.
That is an iconic, iconic video game meme.
Okay, I can't. Snape's not as iconic, but he's also just as flat faced.
I think Hagrid was definitely the worst in that game. Like,
worst,
I don't know what they did there. They're like, we only have three triangles to spare in the scene. Put it on his face.
Just cover his face with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Snape's not
I think
too bad.
The one I played the most, coincidentally, because I was quite young at the time, was I remember I had the original Xbox because my parents used to travel a lot. And my dad brought back an Xbox one time and obviously it was never supported yet. So like I got a new game every 6 months. So when I got a game, man, you best believe I played that game over and over.
Heck,
and over.
Yeah.
So the one game my sister actually ended up getting for Christmas one year was the Chamber of Secrets game. So the second Harry Potter one. It's funny because the box was in German because it came from Germany.
I know.
Luckily, at those times, you could change languages in games. So it was totally fine. But that game had a weird structure. It would be like you were in Hogwarts and you had a day activity and then a night activity. And then there were 7 days. That was the whole game.
What?
And then it was like the end of the year. And I knew that game back to front. Like
I'm
I knew
sure you replayed it
every single thing that was going to happen on every single day. Because obviously there's not many permutations of things you can do. It's like you do this thing. But man, thinking back now, I realize why it was. But I used to get so frustrated by going back to your dorm room because you'd have to go up several flights of stairs.
Yeah.
And every now and then you'd get to like the end of a staircase and the rest of the staircase wouldn't be there.
Oh,
and
no.
It'd be like, oh, the levitating staircase is coming down still.
Oh, no.
Whatever. And it's because they were loading the fucking level. Like, but you'd sit there just waiting for this thing. Like,
loading screen sorcery. Like, oh, thing of the past.
And then you go up one flight and it would be the same thing. And you're like, oh my God, kill me. Yeah. Good game that. Yeah.
Interesting.
But it didn't have a weird Hagrid texture though.
I can't believe we had, did we have 7 full time games? Or were there 8? Because the last movie was split into 2 parts.
I do not recall if we got full. Let's actually check. Harry Potter.
Do you know while you looked it up that you cannot find those games today at all?
I guess because of licensing problems.
Because Lenska also played them. I mean, I played like the first and second one. No, I didn't play the second one. I think I only played the first one. Lenska played a bunch of them and she's always been like, why can I not play these games?
I assume it's a licensing problem. Yeah. So. The first Harry Potter game was actually a Lego game. Lego creator Harry Potter. No idea what that was. So there was Philosopher's Stone, Chamber of Secrets, and then a Lego creator Chamber of Secrets. Okay.
Nice.
Then there was the Quidditch World Cup. I remember playing that. That thing fucking ruled. That thing was so much fun. Just nice. Quidditch. All good. Then they released Philosopher's Stone for PS2 again.
They did remasters before remasters were a thing.
Yeah, that's so. Prisoner of Azkaban they did, Goblet of Fire they did, Order of Phoenix they did, Half-Blood Prince they did. Oh, they actually split the Deathly Hallows into 2 games.
All the movies, that is hilarious.
Nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. They came out a year after each other. So did the game.
Poor dev team.
Could you imagine buying a game and it being like, oh, this is just part one? Okay, actually,
I mean,
never mind.
You say
I said
it.
That, and my head was like, "Well, yes." It's like
Final Fantasy
many games
says
are like
hello.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Weird. The last Harry Potter game that came out was Harry Potter for Kinect.
Right, but they've been Lego Harry Potters, but they haven't been.
No, they've right. Those came out before. The last Lego Harry Potter game came out in 2011.
Oh, that is long ago.
We've had mobile games. We've had
I know. We had the Pokemon Go, Harry Potter.
Yeah, Wizards Unite.
Which is dead. Gone.
Oh, yeah, they did
forgotten.
Kill it. You're right. Gone, not forgotten. So, yeah, Hogwarts Legacy is the first one. It's the first Harry Potter game, I guess, native release that is out on the PS4 and Xbox One. The rest were just backwards compat.
No.
Nonsense, yeah. No. Weird, hey? Weird
what
how that just kind of fell out of popularity, hey?
Nice. Hey-o. Well, yeah, I have nothing to add. What is Lupin doing?
Yeah. Just it's a shame you can't play those again just for, you know, like time capture purposes.
Yeah.
But,
I'd love to play all of them. I mean, I can't imagine they too long either. Hours each. Yes, I remember playing.
Oh, you know what you're thinking of? There was Harry Potter and the Lego Dimensions game. You know that Lego Toys to Life thing?
Okay, well, that's not that I was thinking of, but I hear you. Harry Potter. Well, in February.
What a time.
Come back. Lenska
Wizards
might be,
Unite.
Might be here reviewing it, going, it's the best game ever, or we never got a review code.
One or the other. Will she talk about how problematic J.K. Rowling is?
Maybe. I'm sure she'll touch on it, because no one likes to see that.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
One of the books you've probably, book franchises you've probably read back to front the most, come out as a
actual dirtbag,
actual garbage.
but it is a bit unfortunate considering, because we are the sort of like generation that grew up with those sort of books, and people can say all they want now about how they're trash and the movies are trash, and but like you still grew up with it, so it is a bit annoying that is kind of sullied by the works of its creator. So,
well,
that is shit.
I hate to see it.
You know what else you hate to see?
Not games.
No talk of video games, because we're not talking about video. Well,
we're not talking about video games
we're playing, because I can't talk about the one I've been playing until next week. and then we'll probably not talk about it. And you've been playing what, Warzone?
I've just played a bunch of Warzone, but also there's there's this looming thing of load sheddings are coming. To ruin this episode, we're working within a strict time limit here, so I would have loved to have maybe just touched on Warzone, but it's not going to happen today. We're just going to end the episode here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening. No, but we're going to be talking about the Game Awards, because that is actually happening on the, is it the 8th? It's this Thursday.
I think you said the 8th, yeah. So it will be at the crack of fucking dawn on Friday for us.
So we're playing the Game Awards drinking game. Take a shot every time we get a prediction wrong.
For every world reveal.
World review, because that's what we're doing this episode. We're just going to go through all the categories, and we're not going to be saying what we want to win. We're going to be predicting what we think will win. I mean, for bonus points, we can say what we favor in that category, but ultimately, we do not have the deciding votes. It's all in the hands of Jeff Keighley, who he actually just chooses himself. This voting thing is nonsense. It doesn't actually happen. It's Jeff saying, my favorite games are these. I've just wrapped it up in a show and called it the Game Awards, so I can include all my friends.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But
we've done it before. I know we did it last year, and funny enough, our predictions last year, we tied.
That is true.
I think one or the other bested the other. So game on this year. Let's see.
I'm quickly going to sign in on my side just so I can place my votes as we go.
Well, you're going to have to, we're going to do this backwards though. Work our way. I can actually drop you a link. Hang on. Here's the last category. Please hold. Let me get this to you.
What is the last category of your categories?
There we go.
Is it best esports event? Oh, for fuck's sake.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to work backwards. We're not going to start with game of the year. We're going to work from the categories.
So as always, the winners we are picking are the ones we think will win.
Yeah,
not the ones I want to win.
Yeah.
Very big difference. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I can want Stray to win Game of the Year, for example. I don't.
Mm.
But I don't think it will.
Nope.
So yes, that's a big... We are trying to beat each other here, not trying to show off our Game of the Year picks. That comes next week.
Yeah, next week will be our Game of the Year discussion. So,
should we kick things off? There's 31 categories here.
Yeah, we got to fly here. Okay, let me just get this open. Boop. So, sorry, audio listeners, you can't see, but don't worry, we will read.
I know exactly what's going to win here.
Evo 2022. Okay, so we're looking at best esports events, recognizing an event across single or multiple days that delivered a best of class experience for participants and the broadcast audience. Who are you going with here?
League.
Oh, sorry.
Definitely League.
Sorry, the nominees are... I'm bad at this. Evo 2022. 2022 League of Legends World Championship. The PGL Major Antwerp 2022.
I think that's PUBG. League Major? I don't know.
The 2022 Mid-Season Invitational? No idea what that is.
What game is that for? Rainbow Six? Like
Valorant Champions 2022. So you
saw you hate to see the international just absolutely
just
snubbed.
Just
here.
Snubbed here. Yeah, I did notice that as well. So you're saying League of Legends?
Yeah, League. For
how
sure.
How come?
Because it was apparently very hype this year. That's all I know.
League. Okay, I'm giving you League of Legends. I'm going for Evo because I just love the fighting game.
I don't remember Evo being huge this year, but maybe.
Doesn't matter if it was big or not. It's, you know, it's there. It's the fighting game community.
It's so true. People just vote for the fucking tournament they like. So, oh God, this is even worse. I don't know.
We're going to fly through these esports categories because, yeah.
Bro, okay, I don't know. Best esports coach.
We've got... shit, I can't even pronounce his names.
I'm going to go for the guy from LOL. That's it. That's all I'm... With you're gonna go score Dong Bing.
Okay. I'll give it to you. Go score. I just have to figure out how to spell this. Go score Dong Bin. And then I will vote for the guy from Counter-Strike.
Sick. Love it.
This is how we're doing this. I don't even know. What is his name? B1AD3. Is that Blade?
Oh my god.
Horodensky. Okay. Previous category, the
best esports team, recognizing a specific esports team, not the full organization in parentheses. Okay. Judged the most outstanding for performance and conduct in 2022. So we got a team for Apex Legends, FaZe for CSGO, Gen.G for League, LA Thieves for Call of Duty, and Loud
for Valorant.
I'm just going to go for Gen.G for League. I voted for your coach. Let me vote for you.
Sick. Okay, me. I'm going to go with the FaZe clan, just so we have different votes here. Did you realize this is...
Oh my God, how is there another esports category?
This is going to make or break who wins. It's going to be come down to these stupid categories that we know nothing about. Votes. Best esports athletes. Who are you voting for here?
Faker. League of Legends. Let's go. T1. Had an amazing Worlds. So
Faker?
Let's go.
Okay, Faker. So you get Faker. Let me just make sure I'm getting this right. Faker, yep, that's for you. I'm going to vote for Simple, who's the only CS player I actually know. He's really good.
Also, you had to use a one in his name instead of just...
Swanpool.
Okay, we're getting towards the games now.
Okay, best esports game. For the game that has delivered the best overall esports experience to players, inclusive of tournaments, community support, and content updates, irrespective of genre or platform, we have Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Dota 2, League of Legends, Rocket League, and Valorant. Who are you voting for here?
Tough. Very tough, I think.
Are you going to go League of Legends again?
I think actually CSGO is going to win this.
I would love to see Rocket League win as the quote-unquote underdog in this category because it's not as big as others. But I tend to agree with you. I think it's either going to be Counter-Strike or League of Legends. So you won Counter-Strike.
I don't know which one is the one that the kids are going to be voting for. You know what I mean?
Those kids these days.
It's definitely not Dota. I feel like Dota has fallen from grace in the past 2 or 3 years. So.
It didn't even appear in the best esports events, which
and I don't think Valorant is there yet.
No. I think it's these two. Whichever one you pick,
I'm gonna stick with League. I've mostly gone with League, so let me stick with League.
Okay, so I'm giving you League of Legends. I'm giving me Counter-Strike.
I hate this next category, and I can tell you why.
Okay,
this is just a hype check. No one fucking knows any of these games.
Most anticipated game, recognizing an announced game that has demonstrably illustrated. Potential to push the gaming medium forward. We have...
What the fuck does that mean?
How can a
trailer illustrate potential to push the gaming one medium
of these
forward?
Games is going
to
just change the way we game. It's Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, or The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
I can tell you the two I probably think it's going to come down to. Is Starfield and Legend of Zelda.
Yeah. Resident Evil 4, I can't wait to play it. I don't think it's going to evolve anything really in terms of gaming as a medium. Hogwarts Legacy looks like an open world Harry Potter game, and Final Fantasy 16 looks like an open world Final Fantasy game.
I mean, I'm not even judging it on the merits of the games. They all look good. I just think those three don't really move the needle socially as much as the other two. I'm wondering. Okay, let me pitch this.
No.
I think it might be Starfield just because of the whole fucking nonsense Game Pass exclusivity war.
No, and also, you know why I think it might be Starfield? Because of that thing of, here's actual planets to explore. That switches me off immediately. But other people go, what? There's actual planets to explore? I'm like, yes, have you played No Man's Sky? It exists.
No Man's Sky.
So what are you going? You're going with Starfield?
I think so.
You know what? You can take your Starfield. I'm going to go with The Legend of Zelda.
Legend of Zelda? That's where I placed my vote.
Yeah, but I think
Starfield's going
to win.
Starfield for sure.
Cool. The categories are getting better though. We're getting to the
best
good stuff.
Adaptation. Oh, this is a hard one. Recognizing outstanding creative work that faithfully and authentically adapts a video game to another entertainment medium. We have Arcane, League of Legends, Cyberpunk, Edgerunners, The Cuphead Show, and then the also rans, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted the movie. Wow, that Uncharted the movie doing a lot of work here. Hey, Justice. This is between Arcane and Edgerunners to me, and that is a hard choice. I actually do not know.
I loved the heck out of both, but I personally think that Arcane will take it. Just looking at our friend circle, and how many people just, here's the thing. We actually had this discussion at the office this week where you can look at both and pitch them to just the layman person saying, hey, there's these two shows based on gaming. Which one do you want to watch? Arcane will be seen as like a work of art because its art style is just so interesting. Edgerunners, the person's going to think it's just anime. And if the person hates anime, they're going to be like, nah. I don't watch children's shows. That'll be the knee-jerk reaction.
So the only counter I have to that, because I agree. I think out of the ones here, I would pick, like Arcane is my favorite one to win here. The only thing I think works against it is, do you remember that they performed a song from Arcane at the last Game Awards? That's how long it's been since
Arcane came out. Yeah, it's been a real long time. But this is a new category, right? It must be.
Yeah, it must be a new category. But I think it just wasn't up for like consideration last year because the first like part launched during the Game Awards season, sort of.
Yeah.
So I think Edgerunners is probably going to win because it's like way more recent. And I just look at what it did for Cyberpunk as a whole in terms of sales, the sort of
100%
mindset is there around it. So
I'm going to say
Edgerunners.
We've got such split votes here. I'm going to go Arcane. We're not tying
this year. Arcane is the vote I place, because I think that series, like I love Edgerunners, but I think Arcane's a better series. I love Arcane. If I had to watch one or the other today again, I would pick Arcane immediately. Like
same. Yeah. This next category sucks because it's so difficult.
best debut indie.
For the best debut game created by a new independent studio. Have you seen the games on offer here? There's a lot of good shit.
This one hurts me because I know who's going to win, and it's not who I think should win.
Who's going to win? You think it's
Vampire Survivors.
You want Vampire Survivors? Oh, you think Vampire Survivors is going to win?
I think Stray is actually not a bad call.
Okay, well, the nominees are Neon White, Norco, Stray, Tunic, and Vampire Survivors.
Listen, all of these games are phenomenal games.
This is the only category that has Vampire Survivors in the whole show, if I'm not mistaken, which is a travesty because Vampire Survivors is a real good game. I don't know why it got...
That is true.
It got just overlooked in the other categories.
Isn't this also the only category for Tunic?
No, Tunic has one or two others. Again, Tunic robbed this Game Awards.
Tunic fucking robbed.
So robbed.
Tunic and Vampire Survivors both deserve to be in that Game of the Year spot over Stray. I will 100%.
I love Stray, but I don't think it's Game Stray. Of the Year material.
I love Stray, but it's not on the level of those two games. Mm. So I think...
This is a tough category. Look, I would personally... I love... Well, I've only played Stray, Tunic, and Vampire Survivors, and I love all three. I would love for any of them to win, but Tunic is just, I think,
Tunic's not going to win here, though.
I would love Tunic to win here, though.
Not enough people play Tunic, and that's the saddest part of this year, is like, not enough people played easily the best game of this year.
Yeah.
Like, hands down, in Tunic. My opinion.
Yeah.
So...
Vampire Survivors.
I think Vampire Survivors will win here. Yeah.
Yeah, this is where we tie. Vampire Survivors.
But my heart goes to Tunic. I'm gonna.
You know what? I'm gonna. You get your Vampire Survivors. I'm gonna go Tunic here.
Oh wow.
No, I'm not. I can't. I think Vampire Survivors will win here. Can't skimp out on the points here.
I don't see Tunic winning.
Okay. Next category we have. Content Creator of the Year for a streamer or content creator who has made an important and positive impact on the community in 2022. We have Cole Jacobs, Ludwig, I don't know how to pronounce it, Nabilian, Nobru, or QT Cinderella. Now, if you don't know any of these people, nor do I, but the one I do know
Nebelian.
Is Nebelian. So if you don't know who Nebelian is, he is a persona on Twitter who was a fantastic source of gaming news as it broke, or announcements.
One
or
of the best
everything.
In
yeah.
the world. Yeah.
But sadly, about a month ago, they came, well, it was about a, yeah, I think it was about a month ago, they came out saying that they are deactivating their accounts for a number of reasons. It's just sad to see them go, but I would love to see them.
It was like just
category.
Before this nomination as yeah. well, which is a real shame. Yeah.
It was strategic because now everyone's like, oh, we've got to give it to them now.
I don't think I'm voting for Nebelian. I don't think he wins.
They might win because remember the way these awards are weighted, it's 90% the board of critics and then 10% fans.
Nope,
you don't think
how it works.
Not at all.
It's all fans.
The board of critics
determine the nominees, then fans vote.
I think it's weighted where we vote, but it doesn't count 100%. What?
As far as I know, the nominees, so the panel of judges is journalists and influencers from around the world. They come together. Well, they get a spreadsheet and they send through lists, and that is weighted, and that determines each bracket of nominees, and then it's all votes.
I'm so confused. No, yeah, it is. Yeah, FAQ, the Game Awards. So
am I wrong?
You are wrong, my friend. Please hold.
I swear to God, that's how it worked.
No, there's a question. So I'm at the FAQ. There's one even saying, why don't fans 100% select the winners? Blah, blah, blah. Hang on, I did see it. 90%. So winners are determined by a blended vote between the voting jury, 90%, and public fan voting, 10%.
The fan vote is only worth 10%?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this changes everything.
Do you want to redo
any
of your
votes? I've been working on the wrong information.
Do you want to redo any of your votes?
No, I'm good for now. But this does change things going forward. Yep, Nebelian.
Yeah,
let's
Nebelian,
go.
Yeah, with that knowledge, I'm like, all of the gaming media
that
will
is
vote for
all
this.
All in on
this
that.
Person, yeah,
yeah, there's no way he's losing this category then.
Nebelian. Okay. I would say that I almost wanted to change my Vampire Survivors votes, except I know that so many critics love Vampire Survivors. So. Best
play Tunic.
Yeah, best multiplayer game for outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences, irrespective of game genre or platform. We have.
Why the fuck is Shredder's Revenge here?
We have Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Multiverses, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. Yeah, I had the exact same phase as you. I don't know why it's yet. It's a great co-op game, but I mean, I think it's here because it is a very good co-op game. Because the category.
This is like, we need 5 nominees. Mm. Let's just try and. Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see it win. That would be hilarious. But what do you think is winning here? I don't know. I feel.
It's between Multiverses and Splatoon to me.
Do you think so? Not Call of Duty. Mm. I mean, Call of Duty is the same every year. Well, okay.
I don't, that was a sweeping statement. Like,
I don't mean that.
I feel like, especially among critics, there's actually been a lot of negativity surrounding COD's multiplayer and specifically Warzone, which would probably color that sort of argument.
Overwatch
then again,
2,
these votes probably came out much earlier than we think they did. So,
and Overwatch 2 had like the worst launch. So.
Well, Multiverses like captured an audience, but Splatoon also had a lot of people like. I think Splatoon 3's multiplayer is kind of garbage because unless you're in like the Americas or Europe, you are fucked. You just get disconnected consistently through games to the point where I just don't play it anymore because it's frustrating.
Oh no!
But I can't ignore the amount of like love it got in the me. I don't know.
I am going to go.
I'm going to go and go Splatoon 3.
Yeah, I'm going to go Multiverses.
Shit, why did I vote for Splatoon 3? That's not who I wanted to vote for. Sorry, I'm talking about my votes.
So you are Splatoon?
Yeah, I think Splatoon 3 will
and
win.
I will be Multiverses. We are so not tying this. Yeah.
I think Multiverses could win, honestly.
Best sports/racing game.
This is the dumbest category. I hate this so much.
For the best traditional and non-traditional sports and racing game, we have Formula 1 22, FIFA 23, NBA 2K23, Gran Turismo 7, and Ollie Ollie Bold. I would love to see Ollie Ollie Bold win this just because it'd be so left field.
It'd be so fucking sick for this like 2D skateboarding game to beat out.
In fact, here I am. I'm voting Ollie Ollie Bold. I'm not even going to discuss it. It's going to win. Hands down.
I think it's going to be GT7.
You reckon?
Gran Turismo. Though I want it to be Formula 1 2022 because I think that game rules. Yeah, I think Gran Turismo is going to win.
Color me shocked. I didn't think that it'd stand against others. Best sim/strategy. The best game focused on real-time or turn-based simulation or strategy gameplay irrespective of platform. We have June Spice Wars, Mario plus Rabbit Sparks of Hope, Total War Warhammer 3, Two Point Campus, and Victoria 3. This is an easy one. This is Mario Rabbit, isn't it?
Yeah. Think about the game that most people played, and that's
It's funny though because I don't think the other games are bad necessarily.
No, not at all. I just don't think there's
also,
many people.
This like, game just came out like a month ago.
Also it's true.
Super fresh in people's memory. Two Point Campus came out a few months ago.
Wasn't it like August or so?
Yeah.
About
then? Okay. Next category we have
family game.
They called us the best family. It's the best Nintendo game. Let's be honest. Yeah. For the best game appropriate for family play, irrespective of genre or platform, we have Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, Mario plus Rabbit Sparks of Hope, Nintendo Switch Sports, and Splatoon 3. Now, this is tricky because... this doesn't have to include multiplayer. Kirby. Mm-mm. It has to be Kirby. What a game.
I thought of that, and then I thought about Splatoon 3 again and just how many people played that.
Splatoon 3.
Also, Lego Star Wars, hey? Let's not forget that was like one of the most... well-received Star Wars Lego games in a very long time, and people had been waiting for it forever. So
listen,
do think Kirby, and that's who I think is going to win.
Yeah, I'm going to vote with my heart here, and my heart is Kirby.
With your pink little ball of a heart.
Because Kirby and the Forgotten Land was, what a surprise.
I still need to play it, man.
What a surprisingly good game.
So keen to play it one day.
Yeah, we almost halfway through this already. Best fighting game. Shit. For the best game designed primarily around head-to-head combat, we have...
Why is Sifu here?
We have DNF Duel, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, All-Star Battle R, The King of Fighters 15, Multiverses, and Sifu. Now, you might be thinking... Sifu has fighting, but it's not a traditional fighting game. It's a
just put fucking single player. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles here again. Yeah. It's got fighting, yeah.
I think this is a case of there were not enough nominees for this category, so they just
put the Street Fighter 6 beta here.
I would love to see Sifu win, but I don't know if it will.
Not a fucking chance.
It has
no
to be.
Way.
It's either King of Fighters or Multiverses, I think.
I think it's Multiverses or DNF Duel. Yeah, Arc System works, man. People love Arc System.
Yeah, you're right.
Works.
Sorry, I didn't realize Arc System did that. You're going to vote for?
I'm going to go DNF Duel.
You're gonna go I'm going to go Multiverses. My God. DNF Duel for you. Multiverses for me. Okay. We're getting spicy now. We're getting to best role-playing game.
Oh, my God.
For the best game designed with rich player character customization and progression, including massively multiplayer experiences. We have Elden Ring, Live Alive, Pokemon Legends Arceus,
Jesus, that came
Triangle
out this year,
Strategy, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Elden Ring. Look, it's not even a question.
It has to be Elden Ring. I mean,
it's not even a question.
I haven't finished Xenoblade Chronicles 3, and I acknowledge that it is a fantastic JRPG, but... it is nowhere near on the same level as Elden Ring. If I look at the
it's going to be the one that wins. Yeah.
For rich player character customization and progression, I'm like, Elden Ring lets you do anything.
I could see this being a problematic, like, pity vote thing where it's like, oh, we think Elden Ring is going to win Game of the Year, so we'll give Best RPG to something else. You know, and in that case, I'd probably see Xenoblade Chronicles win. Yeah. But I still think Elden Ring is going to win this category.
100%.
Like, yeah. I think so many critics played it, so many fans played it.
Mm.
Like, yeah.
No, yeah, it's no weird because Xenoblade is a big Nintendo franchise, but it still feels niche. It's
yeah,
weird.
Relatively.
It's,
yeah.
Cool. Next category. Oh my God.
I love on my screen, I have my window like smaller. So mine, Kratos' head is just cropped out of this image completely. Just really funny.
Just the trailers. We've got best action / adventure for the best action adventure game combining combat with traversal and puzzle solving. The nominees are A Plague Tale, Requiem, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Tunic. Remember all those good shooty bits in Stray, like that one part of the game?
Yeah, action adventure.
Shit, this is still a tough category though, because these are
my
all
heart
really
goes
good.
To Tunic. That's the one I've clicked vote on my side because it is my favorite game out of the bunch here. But
yeah,
this is going to be God of War Ragnarok, no question.
You reckon?
It came out super recently. Loads of people loved it, critically acclaimed. The only problem is that the jury votes would probably had to be in before that embargo was up. So I don't know how that colors things, but listen, it got nominated for Game of the Year even without being out yet. So no, I think God of War takes this. I don't think Forbidden West touches it.
No,
I don't think Plague Tale touches it.
I really want Tunic to win this.
I really do as well. I would love Tunic to win one category.
It would make me
super happy.
So happy, yeah. But I'm with you.
That's who I voted for. My one vote in the 10% pool is going to go for somewhere.
Nice. Go. Now we're getting to same territory, voting the same stuff here.
Spicy.
Best action game. For the best game in the action genre focused primarily on combat, we have Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Neon White, Sifu, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. I think I voted for, it is either Sifu or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I would love to see Sifu win here. I wanted to get some recognition because it was really good.
I don't think enough people played Sifu.
You think so? It's either Sifu or Neon White, I think.
That's who I think is going to win. Okay. To me, it's between Neon White or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, I'm trying to like delve into the mind of like the sort of jury for this and what they might have played more. Mm. And I know within the circles I follow, Neon White was really big for a very long time.
Mm.
But people fucking love that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing.
Yeah.
But Call of Duty is also there. So.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't think Bayonetta 3 stands a chance. Sorry to say. Like,
No ways.
It's probably a good action game, but yeah.
I think most people have forgotten about that like already. So. I am going to vote for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm.
Okay. I think we are over halfway now. Best VR/AR. For the best game experience playable in virtual or augmented reality, irrespective of platform, we have After the Fall, Among Us VR, Bone Lab, Moss Book 2, and Red Matter 2.
I really need
2.
To play that still. I really want to play Moss 2.
I have no stakes in this category, but I'm going to just vote Among Us.
Yep, same. It's Among Us VR. Among Us 2. Yeah.
Previous category. Innovation in accessibility. An award given to a game for I'm just framing this so wrong. I'm just going to read it. Recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. We have As Dusk Falls, God of War Ragnarok, Return to Monkey Island, The Last of Us Part 1, and The Quarry. If this isn't given to God of War, I would be shocked. I think...
Yeah. I'm kind of on the same page.
Purely because, not to say that other
the
games
options
don't
are
do,
ex- extensive.
Just yeah. And also
incredible.
Like, it feels like it's The Last of Us Part 1, but
Last of Us Part 1 could be the same, because I feel like Sony just has this mandate, or at least across its first party studios, that's what it is now, which is kind of amazing and great.
But the thing is,
but I think it's a God of War.
God of War came out, it sounds ridiculous to say, but God of War just came out. It's fresher in people's minds. I'm going to go with God of War. God of War is going to win a lot of awards, I'm just going to say. Maybe. Best community support, recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates and patches.
Sponsored by Discord.
Nominees are Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and No Man's Sky.
This has to be Fortnite. Sure.
Now, I think Fortnite's going to win, but I would love to see No Man's Sky win, just because, man, this game...
I think they've won this award in the past, though. They won it last year.
This game just keeps on giving. It just doesn't want to die.
I swear they won it last year or the year prior, so... But yeah, potentially.
Fortnite's... I think year on year, they just... I mean, this year, I really got back into Fortnite, and...
Yeah, and I think a lot of people did. There was sentiment around, like, oh, I haven't played Fortnite, especially because they put out the no build mode thing this year.
Just brought so many people back.
I think there's just so many more people playing Fortnite now, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
I'm going Fortnite for sure.
Nice. I'm also going Fortnite. Previous category.
Best mobile game. The best game playable on a mobile device. So Switch games?
No.
Need more qualifiers there. Apex Legends Mobile, Diablo Immortal, Genshin Impact, Marvel Snap. I've never heard of this game. Tower Fantasy.
Good Lord. I mean, I know where my vote is on this category.
I mean, I definitely, with my heart, vote Marvel Snap, sure.
Yeah. But it's going to be Genshin Impact, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Yes. I do think it's going to be Genshin Impact.
Okay, you know what? We're going to split you.
Actually, I'm going to go Marvel Snap. Fuck it.
Okay, I was just I'm going Marvel Snap.
I'm going for a swing, yeah. I'm going for a swing. Who knows?
Because Marvel Snap is also just brand spanking new.
Yeah.
People loving the heck out of it. Best indie game for outstanding creative and technical achievements in a game made outside
the traditional. Didn't we have best indie game?
We had best debut indie.
Oh, no. For fuck's sake.
We have Cult of the Lamb, Neon White, Sifu.
It's the same nominees,
Stray,
though. Like,
and Tunic. No, Cult of the Lamb's new here.
What does it mean for... Okay. I guess Sifu wasn't in the last one because the studio's made a game before. And so, same with Neon White because Ben Esposito's made a game before. But, like, Stray is made by a bunch of developers from Ubisoft. So, like... Mm. And it was in best debut.
I don't know. Hey, I just work here.
I just work here.
Okay, yeah, I'm just here to talk about games. This is still a tough category, though, because all of these games, I think, could win easily.
This is... I'm going hard. This is Tunic's time. This is Tunic's time to charm. Yeah.
Mm.
But I think it's going to be Cult of the Lamb. Fuck my love.
I don't know if it will be Cult of the Lamb. I mean, it is the only category, I think, that it makes an appearance. Okay, you're going Tunic.
Yeah, I'm going Tunic. Although, even though I'm saying Tunic and I'm telling you to write down Tunic for me, I don't think it's going to be Tunic because... But I'm going to will it into fucking existence here.
I think Tunic stands a very good chance.
Neon White could win. Listen, all these games are really good.
Yeah.
This is a tough category. I think this is a tougher category than fucking God of the Year. Game of the Year presented by Christopher Judge.
Just to split the votes, I'm going to go Stray. This is Stray's time to shine.
Potentially. Just to derail a little bit, did you see that photo of Christopher Judge? I don't know if it was for the announcement or not, but he said he wants to play Kratos in the God of War series. Did you see what a fucking absolute unit that man is? Holy
actual
shit.
Actual God of War, yeah. Actual God
like,
of War.
Yes, hire him. He's ready to go. Just fucking put white paint on him. He's done. Ready. Fuck.
I'd love to see that. I think my favorite part of that thing, I think he framed it as like he co-signs the idea.
Yes. Yeah.
Great times. Like, what a...
Make Batista, Marcus Fenix, make Christopher Judge.
What a persuasive way to like pitch yourself, like, I co-sign on this idea. It's
halfway. I mean,
they're
making it at Amazon, so fucking do it. Like,
it's crazy.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty fucking good. And he's an actual actor. He's not like just a voice actor. So like, yes, do it. Best
next,
ongoing.
This is such a weird one because this...
Why is No Man's Sky not here?
Yeah, no, this is like similar to me as best community support. So best ongoing, awarded to a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves a player experience over time. We have Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Genshin Impact. Now,
I'm going to go Fortnite.
I almost want to go back and change my other vote to No Man's Sky. But I agree.
What, the other one?
The other one, yeah. Okay. I think I might do that. Fortnite. I'm doing it. Okay, I'm opting out to the last category for best community support and saying No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky. Okay. Previous category. Games full impact for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. We have A Memoir Blue, As Dusk Falls, Citizen Sleeper, Endling, Extinction is Forever, Hindsight, and I Was a Teenage Exocolonist.
So I have not played a single one of these
games. I have not played
which
any of these.
Which is bad.
Yeah.
But I know of the one that I saw spoken about the most out of these, Citizen Sleeper. A lot of people spoke about this. Very good.
I also saw some
people Game Pass
talk about I Was a Teenage Exocolonist.
Same. That's the like second one on here that I've seen spoken about a bunch. I'm going to go Citizen Sleeper. I do want to play Endling because it's like a little fox story and it's going to make me cry. So
probably
should play that one day.
Okay. And I'm going I Was a
As Dusk Falls didn't get a lot like good critical reception. So
no. I think out of all of these games, it is the one that has had probably the most marketing.
Xbox pushed it hard. Yeah.
Cool. Previous category.
Best performance.
Awarded to an individual for voice over acting, motion, and or performance capture. We have Ashley Birch for Horizon Forbidden West. Charlotte McBurney for A Plague Tale Requiem. Christopher Judge for God of War Ragnarok. Manon Gage for Immortality and Sunny Soljic for God of War Ragnarok.
Christopher Judge.
I mean, I've seen a lot of people say that Manon is real good at Immortality.
Yeah, I haven't played Immortality, so I can't.
But I think in terms of mainstream appeal, like it has to be Christopher Judge.
And this I think he wins over Sunny Soljic just because it's like it's Kratos. You know what I mean? Like, I think the performance for Atreus this game,
I think
the performance is good. I didn't think the writing was as strong. Atreus makes some dumbass fucking choices, but I think he's good.
Christopher Judge, I think, nailed it as
Christopher
Kratos.
Judge nails the whole like undertone of seriousness, and then when there's those little pockets of humor, like he nails it. Like,
really
I think
good.
He's very good. It's weird to say though, because I think he has fewer lines in this game than he does in the previous one, which is kind of strange. Yeah. It feels like he wasn't talking a lot. At least for a very large portion. But that could be because of
stuff.
The structure of the game and how it like highlights a lot of other characters. It just feels less about him. So but I still think
I think
it's Christopher Judge. Yeah.
He didn't win it in 2018.
Which is insane because, like, that's the year he should have won.
Yeah.
Like, rewatch that scene with him and Athena. It is incredible.
Mm.
Like, Christopher Judge's delivery of, good.
Too good. Best audio design, recognizing the best in-game audio and sound design. Nominees are Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Gran Turismo 7, and Horizon Forbidden West.
Listen, I personally, I think this should go to Call of Duty because as much as it is, yes, it's pew-pew guns, those guns sound fucking insanely good.
Mm.
Like, everything sounds good in that game. It is a
Except
like it's except always the been an audio thing. Oh, well, people can't hear footsteps.
Which is maybe too true to laugh.
Yeah,
how many
exactly.
times I get rolled up on from behind? I'm like, where did this person even come from?
Minska just sneaks up behind you. It's like, oh, you're wearing socks. That's why I couldn't.
Oh, my God. I don't know. It's a tricky category because I could make a case for all of them. I feel like Elden Ring, I just think of the monsters and the weapons and just, I don't know, across the game, there's a lot of good stuff. God of War, I can just think of the sonic arrows and how good they sounded. That's enough.
They do sound pretty
enough
good.
For me to go like, damn, that little Skelfa. The Skelfa. Gran Turismo, vroom vroom. And then Horizon Forbidden West. All those machines, man. Like, this is a, yeah, this is quite a tricky category.
I think this is a sort of category that the people voting on this don't really have the expertise to really say one way or the other. They're just kind of guessing. That's why I'm going to go for Call of Duty.
I am going to go with, I don't know what I'm going to go with yet. Mirage's done. I'll make a new joke decision. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I'll go with the, I'm going to go with God of War for this one. Yellow.
Okay.
Cool. God of War.
Oh, the next category is hard.
Previous category. Best score and music. For outstanding music inclusive of score, original song, and or licensed soundtrack, we have A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Metal Hellsinger, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Let me tell you, I don't think Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is going to win here, but that game soundtrack is really good. It's got
I was going to say it's between Elden Ring, God of War, and Xenoblade Chronicles. Like,
no, I think it's definitely better than... Look, I think I take my hats off to Metal Hellsinger for getting licensed music that was really good with the game.
I don't think it's going to win. Really good bands, yeah, but I don't think it's going to win.
A Plague Tale Requiem, I mean, I've played a little bit. I don't know much about the score and music.
It's not something that even stood out in the first game, really. So, it was good. It's fine. It's just not memorable.
But then you get Elden Ring, and I just think of fighting.
Elden Ring is strong.
That end boss when the music
fucking kicks in that main menu theme.
It's too good. But then there's also God of War Ragnarok, which has like outside of the Kratos theme. I just think there's such good music in that game. But then
I think God of War uses its. It's like familiar motifs in really clever ways, but it's still very much like, I listened to the second soundtrack because I've listened to it a bunch at work and it's good, but it's very familiar. I know the soundtrack now. Whereas the first time Ben McCreary put it out for the 2018 game, I was like, holy shit, this is a whole new theme for him. That said, the song for the credits with, how do you say his name? Hoisier?
Oh, yeah, Blood in the Snow.
Fucking banger. Like, so good. Yeah.
But then Elden Ring menu theme.
it's so brilliant. It's so good. There's so many good themes. Even just the overworld music is so good. Like, Elden Ring. It's Elden Ring. For me.
I'm there with you.
I've listened to that often and,
it's too hype.
Yeah, it's fucking good. It's very hype. I can still hear the like Limgrave overworld music in my head.
Best art direction for outstanding creative and or technical achievements in artistic design.
I mean, this is
animation.
The correct place for Scorn to be because it's the only thing Scorn is good at.
We have Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Scorn, and Stray.
This is a tough one.
Tough category, yeah, because I get it. Stray, we can say Stray doesn't deserve to be a game of the year, but Stray's art direction
very good looking game.
Very good.
Very good.
Elden Ring, oh my God. What more do I need to say about Elden Ring?
Yeah, that fucking tree, hey?
That tree. You can see it from any point in the map.
Nocron, underground with all the stars in the sky.
Yeah. God of War Ragnarok.
Listen, if you come at me with spoilers right now for fucking Elden Ring. Don't even.
God of War Ragnarok, just having access to all 9 realms and seeing how they've changed the existing ones. Midgard is now covered in snow. It's too good.
There's a lot of variety in the game that wasn't in the first games.
So Horizon Forbidden West also like a lot of nice vistas in different locales, but I don't think that's going to win here.
You know, it's weird because it says technical achievement and like...
Oh, think of those
it
waves.
It looks good. But yeah, technically it is crazy the amount of detail they plugged into that thing. So...
Oh, and there's Scorn.
I mean, Scorn delivers on an art direction that it promises. It's like, yeah, we're going to do biomechanical horror and it's all gross and H.R. Giger and yeah, it delivers. And that's as much as I can say about it. Like, it looks like that thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it hangs here at all.
I don't know. It's still a tough
I think
choice,
it deserves though. To be a nominee here. I just don't think it wins even close. Yeah.
You think Stray sneaks in here and takes it because it is different. It's like a city.
I think this is the category that Horizon gets it.
You think it's Horizon?
Yeah. Even though I don't agree with it, I would, you know, when I think art direction, I'm thinking more like technical is one thing, but it's also designs that stand out that will stand the test of time. This is why Bloodborne, as old as it is, I can go back and be like, this looks insanely good because the design is like really inspired. Mm. Whereas you'll go back 5 years from now and look at Horizon and be like, ooh, looks a bit aged. Mm. You know what I mean? I think God of War is the same way. It's just the design is really solid.
It's so good. Like, I remember playing the game on PS4 thinking, how?
Because it's just clever. So I think Horizon wins, yeah, but my personal vote goes to Elden Ring.
So you're voting Elden Ring here?
Yeah, but I think Horizon will win. So yeah, put Horizon down.
Horizon for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Horizon.
I think with all the fucking GIFs shown of, look at these rocks, look at these
waves.
Look at these waves.
Look at
these leaves. Look at these robots.
I'm gonna go for Australia. It's a left field.
Okay. I can respect it.
Previous category. Best narrative. For outstanding storytelling and narrative development in a game. A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Immortality.
So I know we're not doing the spoiler cast now.
No.
But I guess we can both say that we had issues with God of War's story.
Yeah.
I saw your discussions on Discord and I saw you said the ending hit the right notes that you needed, but initially you felt like it kind of just fell flat.
Yeah, well, it is one of those things where the game ended and I was like, But then the more I thought of it... The more I was like, that's actually a pretty solid ending. Like, it's cool.
I'm 100% with you, but I think I haven't arrived at the point where I think it's solid. I think there are parts of that ending which are interesting. It just feels to me like a very big cop out in certain points. Mm. It felt way too neatly tied up.
Yeah. No spoilers, but yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. So.
It's Elden Ring, isn't it?
So that's why for me, I think God of War 2018 has a better story than Ragnarok. I just, Ragnarok's story didn't hit in the same way. There's individual moments of Ragnarok that I love so, so much.
Yeah,
but the whole is not there. Mm. Like, yeah. Forbidden West story is not good.
Not there.
I will straight up say it right now. I do not think that's
Immortality is here. I haven't played it, so sad.
A lot
can't
of people
comment on it.
Really like that game. It could, maybe this is where it sneaks in. Maybe. Elden Ring is a weird one because a lot of people were debating why it's even here. And I'm like,
because it's Elden
engage
Ring.
With your media. Yeah, engage with the story. It is there. Just because it's not spoon-fed to you doesn't mean it's bad. But for that reason, I don't think it wins. So it's weird. I think God of War is probably going to win this, actually.
I also think God of War is going to win.
But if I had to choose out of these the best story, geez, I don't even know. Because like I liked Elden Ring's story, but it didn't hit me like a Bloodborne, you know what I mean? So
I actually don't know. I'm going God of War in this one.
Yeah, I think God of War is going to win this one.
God of War. Okay, two categories left.
To be fair, God of War is the only game on this list that made me cry, so.
Oh my God. Best Game Direction. Awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. We have Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Immortality, and Stray.
Elden Ring.
Yep.
Elden Ring. Elden Ring's the only game on this list that like pushed design forward.
100%. So like God of War, really good. Like, I can commend them for
100%.
You know, a lot of different things, different game mechanics, locations, etc., etc. Elden Ring is this case of, it's an open world From game. Is it going to hit? Is it not going to hit? Is it going to work? How would it work? And good Lord, does it work? And it is. It's. I've put so much time into this game, and it's just
the first game since the Zelda 2017 to actually look at the open world and be like, okay, that's what we did. Here's how we can improve on it and actually nail it.
Yeah.
Like, this is like Tears of the Kingdom needs to look at Elden Ring now and be like, how do we augment
that's
sort of discoverability?
Tears of the Kingdom was delayed, I'm telling you.
They're like, okay, this world is not interesting enough. Yeah, no, it's Elden Ring. Like, God of War is a sequel that feels like a sequel, safe.
Mm.
Horizon Forbidden West is an even safer sequel, in my view.
Yeah.
Stray is interesting, but Stray's like cool because it's like, oh, you're a cat, and everything is designed really well around being a cat.
Yeah.
Immortality, for all intents and purposes, sounds like a lot like Sam Barlow's previous games. It does make things, it's different in some ways, and it's very interesting by all accounts from what I've heard, but I don't think I've heard of a game more than Elden Ring spoken about design-wise than...
Yeah.
So, it's Elden Ring.
Now for the big one. Game
of the year.
Of the year. Recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. We have A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
I'm not salty, but why is Horizon in so many of these? Like,
I know. It's like, look, I liked Horizon a lot. Played a lot of it. But it's not the... It doesn't stand as tall, I don't think, as these other games.
We established this world, here's more of its sequel. It just doesn't feel that interesting compared to so many of the other games that came out this year. Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. Well, I can tell you, for me, it's Elden Ring. I think it's between Elden Ring and God of War Ragnarok. Elden Ring is what got my vote.
Same.
It is tricky, though, because there were honestly points during God of War Ragnarok where I thought, I mean, I've said this to you when we've reviewed it, where objectively I can't floor God of War in terms of its delivery, because like, it's a really solid game. Like, everything in that game has been designed like to perfection, from visuals to combat to sound to enemies. Like, they did take the 2018 game and they just expanded it in a really good way. Like, more characters, everything is just bigger and bolder. There are story beats. Like, maybe the overall story, not necessarily as strong as 2018. I think I agree with you there. But those individual moments, like the seeing, I mean, I think it must be so interesting playing this game having not played previous God of Wars, because seeing how Kratos, I mean, I don't want to say he softens, but seeing his growth just to the point where he is now, where he says and he does things, I'm like, holy shit, this is the guy who, spoiler, like, destroyed the whole of Olympus, beat all those gods to a pulp. Like, what growth, fantastic.
In brutal fashion, sadistically.
And just hearing the advice he gives, and you can see, like, he's matured, he's wise. Like, I still think Kratos has the best character redemption arc, like, ever. I just really think it's so strong. But then Elden Ring, man. Like, Elden Ring is just too good.
Elden Ring is one of those rare genre-defining sort of experiences,
I think,
that you get every couple of years. And I think the last time we got it was a sort of Breath of the Wild, where it was like, okay, this has changed forever now. Like, no, games can't go back from this.
No.
And every time they have, they felt stifled by it. That's why the likes of Horizon feel so aged by comparison, because, like, they just feel stuck in an era that hasn't learned from, like, where the best in its class have gone. You know? And Elden Ring does that again.
But even on Elden Ring, it's the one game where I feel that it surprised the most people. Like, I know, you and I both know many people who would never touch a From game, but that just the Elden Ring hype got them to go like, oh, I'll try it. And they absolutely love it.
Yep.
Which is like, incredible, because I would never have thought that. Like if you told me last year this time last year that, oh yeah, Elden Ring would have sold so much and be played by X amount of people who would never have played it before, I'd be like, nah, it's impossible. I didn't
expect this. It's sort difficulty of
will bounce off because it doesn't click, whatever. But so many people, just because of the way the game's designed, can play it. It's so smart. I think it's game of the year.
It's my game of the year. Oh yeah. Tunic is really my game of the year, but that's for a very different reason. For kind of the same reason, actually. It's just, it has mechanics that are like really smart and that I've never seen anywhere else, and they just work. But Elden Ring and it are like very close to one another.
I don't see Tunic here though, which is a travesty.
It's a fucking travesty. Tunic, look, 100% to be above Stray and Horizon.
I love Stray, I really do, but it does not deserve to be Game of the Year. Sorry,
no, doesn't hang.
Horizon,
it's a good
as
game.
Well, really good game. I don't think it's Game of the Year material.
No, not at all.
Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I mean, I'm glad that's here, but it's not Game of the Year.
Listen, my vote goes to Elden Ring, and I think Elden Ring's going to win. I was going to say my vote goes in, God of War wins, but I think Elden Ring's going to win. This is the year.
Yeah, I'm there.
Listen, we've had a Game Awards where Sekiro won Game of the Year, and that was a much harder game for people to get into. So do you want to throw up our tally here?
I can put it. Boop. What is going on? Why won't it snap? That's so weird. And so here's our votes. You want to have a look? Bam.
A lot of, you see, as we got to the more mainstream categories, we started like converging.
Yeah, we're aligning.
Yeah, are we seriously going to get fucked with these esports ones? They are the ones that are going to kill us.
Yeah, it's going to sort us out. That was fun.
We should have a winner minus esports, or win and winner with esports categories.
We'll do it. I'll do it. I'll tally that up. Don't worry. Look at this. Oh, this is old. So we'll have a total right and then a total right minus esports.
Esports nonsense.
I'll tidy this up just now. Sure, there we go. That's our Game of the Year, our Game Award predictions. And we have just enough time to do some questions before my power vanishes.
If you want to send us questions, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on all of our social platforms at Checkpoint Chat. What's on the docket for today?
Please hold. I'm just time stamping this. 107 for questions. Damn. 107. We had an email from good Paul Malesh, who says, the email's titled "Good Day," and he writes, Today was episode 209. Next week is episode 210. Write it down. You're welcome. This is addressed to you specifically.
Well, listen, I'm trying my very best to learn how to count. That's all I can say.
Life is hard. We have a question on Facebook from, I don't know if I'm saying the surname right, James Conacha, who asks, what do you guys think of the Callisto Protocol? So, we have no review code for that, unfortunately. Would like to play it, but the reviews did drop earlier this week, and it is a mixed bag for a number of reasons. I think a lot of people praise, from what I saw, environment and lighting and all of that, but then criticized a lot of other things. Like, one thing that stood out to me is a lot of people said that the combat felt a bit unfair at times. Lots of dying. To the point, like the one review I read, they basically described the combat as a bit like a Groundhog Day experience where you die, you go, oh, okay, now I know that this enemy spawns there, so I must face there, do that. Oh, now that enemy's going to come from there. So it's a bit like, it's like, I don't know if I'm going to gel with that. Like, I'd like to go in and have a combat experience where that doesn't rely on me knowing where enemies come from, more just me relying on my own wits and ability to survive. It hit for some people, didn't hit for some other people. So yeah, if we do play
the thing that I've seen quite like universally agreed upon is that the game starts a lot stronger than it kind of ends in its halfway point. Apparently it's super, super good in the first couple of hours, and that could explain why the previews a couple of weeks back were so positive, because they were those moments. And it's that tipping point of halfway, which I've seen a lot of people being like, okay, now the game just throws so many enemies at you that the combat system breaks down. Like, it can't actually cope with this because it's just not built for that sort of like scenario. And that's where the frustration and the annoyance comes in.
Yeah.
And sort of, I think that's what breaks the atmosphere. A lot of people being like, this doesn't feel like a horror game. It's not scary.
Yeah.
You know, horror games are built through tension and, you know, scarcity, not like here's 20 enemies for you to mow down. If you feel that powerful, the horror is gone.
Yeah.
You know, Isaac Clarke never has those situations. He has those moments where there's like a bunch of enemies coming at him in drips and drabs, and it's like, you got to survive, but never like hordes that you feel like you're just mowing down, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a bummer. I still want to play it.
Yeah, likewise.
But I'm much more like, oh, I might wait for it now. You know, we never got review codes, so yeah.
We will see.
Apparently it looks amazing. Digital Foundry saying it's one of the best looking Unreal Engine 4 games. So,
but I also heard that it has issues on PC.
Yeah, on PC it runs like shit. So
we need some patches. Cool. And we have one last question on Twitter from Mix, who asks, if you had the chance to instantly learn a language, read, write, speak, what would it be and why?
Interesting question.
I think the easy one for me would just be Portuguese.
We'll take a lot of the effort out of it. It would
just take so much effort out, and you know, at least I could be like, I'm Portuguese and I can actually speak the language fluently.
I would probably go like, I have no real reason for this, but probably like Japanese. Just seems cool.
I'd also just like to
seems like an interesting, because then you could read a lot of manga, how it's written. You could listen to a lot of anime, how it was originally recorded, without the need for translation, which from what I can tell, there's a lot like lost in translation, even if you're reading subtitles from Japanese to English, because like any language, it's got idiosyncrasies and idioms and all of that. So yeah, Japanese would be pretty cool, I think. Portuguese would be a solid answer though. Like, it would take,
it would be the most, most applicable in my life.
In my life right now, today. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, but as for
and then it's a good base for learning things like Spanish, which is really huge around the world. So yeah,
which lend itself. Well, I mean, a lot of those European languages.
Most European languages, Italian and all the Latin-based languages. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if could just
not
learn
English. English is fucking stupid.
Just learn Latin for the shits and giggles.
Jesus, could you imagine? Where can I speak this?
Nowhere. And that's it. That's all the questions.
Thank you so much for sending us questions. Those were kind of cool. I enjoyed those. I guess it felt like a bit of a whirlwind podcast, but we are literally like 10 or so minutes away from
load shedding. Goodbye.
From load shedding, yeah. And that would be problematic if we lost this recording. So yeah, that's why it's maybe felt a bit rushed, but we always plan to do the predictions today. That's just kind of tradition. So I'm keen to watch those awards as a VOD, because I'm not waking up at 3 a.m.
Hell no.
And keen to see Twitter get mad about winners, but mostly keen to see new games announced. So that definitely seems like it's happening.
100%.
Will we see what would be a really hype announcement? I feel like there's going to be a big Xbox, maybe not a reveal of a new game, but a release date or look at something, you know,
Xbox stuff.
Fairly new. Well, do you remember 2 years ago, Xbox just announced a new fucking console at the Game Awards? So
like, what the relationship?
Nothing's off the table.
2023 has to be the year. Like, I know we said this every year, but
it has to be the year.
But yeah, good Lord, this is the one.
They have to hit. They've got this. They've got this year. They have to hit.
100%.
I could see a Sony sneaky something.
Bloodborne remake. Like, let's go.
What are they work? So we've got Spider-Man next year. So maybe we get something Spider-Man related. What is Sucker Punch working on?
Is that
they've been
Ghost
working on something? Yeah, they've been working on something for a very long time. Very, very long time. Sony Santa Monica is going to go dark for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe we get a brief look at Naughty Dog's multiplayer Last of Us thing.
Yeah.
lots of Sony stuff that could happen. So
Crash Bandicoot 5, let's go.
Well, you joke, but that's actually happening. Let's go, Crash Bandicoot. There's also Tekken 8 stuff that has been confirmed.
I saw that. Yeah.
NetherRealm said they're not showing anything, so that's a bit of a bummer.
Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2?
I think the Final Fantasy 16 release date is going to be announced.
With Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. They're out on the same day. Oh, I can't believe Square Enix.
Could you imagine?
So bold.
So much RPG-ness.
So bold, so crazy.
Crisis Core 2 revealed.
Oh my God, Crisis Core's out, is it this week?
Soon.
Next week?
Yeah. I've seen some not great previews for it.
I know.
I'm sad about it, yeah. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Cool.
As always, thank you so much for listening. It's been episode 209 of Checkpoint Chat. We will be back next week for our final episode of the year. It will be our
game
of the year discussions. I don't know. Maybe we'll discuss on the day whether or not it will be very spoilery or not. But who knows? Yeah. Listen, we want to discuss games that touched us this year. And yeah, so for next week, send in your own game of the year list if you want.
I'll put out a tweet leading up to that episode.
Keen to see everyone else's thoughts on that. But yeah, that's been episode 209. We hope you have a fantastic week, and we will be back next week on Checkpoint Chat. Have a little lovely one. It's December.
Goodbye.
We're nearly there. Enjoy it.
Summer's out. Sun's out, guns out.
Yeah. It's the episode title. Thank you.
Goodbye.
We'll be back next week. Goodbye.